It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast. It's
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Roy Von Doy, Rick Frood, Von Dick Dude, all hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm feeling great today. The school year is officially over. We are done. I feel great. I feel energized. You know, I get the whole summer ahead of me. It's great.
You are now a full-time dad and podcast host.
Which is great. Yeah. And and we're bringing back the stream, as was going to bring it up at the end, but we're bringing
streamer.
That back. And streamer.
So twitch.tv/rvonD. Make sure you check that out. Ryan, we have an interesting episode. I don't know how many people have seen the topic du jour, but I think it's a really fascinating one to talk about. There's a lot to discuss, but I would urge people to check it out. If not, we're going to do plenty of spoiler free. We're going to get into the news here in a second. So we'll still try to get to a lot of it, maybe intrigue you to see it or not. But I'm fascinated to know, especially people who listen to our podcast, what they would think of this movie. One which you had said it's horror, it's superheroes, or at least it's, you know, whatever, like, it should be right up our alley.
It should be. Like, there are two genres that we talk about constantly that are married together here. So it should have been right up our alley. We'll get to that in a little bit. We'll talk through it. We're going to talk through it a little bit.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the news, shall we?
Let's do it.
First things first, I know this has really lost a lot of steam, and you and I had liked the Marvel Netflix shows as much as anybody, and Jessica Jones season one, I think we liked as much, if not more than anybody. Season two, everybody disliked.
Yep.
And now season three, which again, what weird timing. All the Netflix shows have already been canceled. Endgame is over. Not that they ever tie those in or anything, but it's over. But anyway, they just put out a season three teaser, and this will be the final Marvel Netflix show. They're ending it with Jessica Jones.
And wouldn't it be great if everyone on that show snapped out of existence? Because technically, the timelines are such that, what is the MCU's like 5 years ahead of us now?
Yeah, I believe 2023. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can just bye-bye Jessica Jones. You know,
that would be pretty cool. And like, they should do like, you know, do most of the season and have people like really invested and then just have them snap away.
And just be like,
God damn, like, why didn't they see that coming? Like,
of course. Or they list descriptions and episodes of like 13 episodes, but really it's just eight. And then like, just eight ends with like, bye.
You know? And then, oh, that'd be sick too. And then as you're watching it, you see the menu disappear too, or like the table of contents.
It's like, and then it just goes away from Netflix and it goes, it just disappears. You go to click on Jessica Jones and it just disappears.
They got to do something like that.
Never happened.
Like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
But this is a real, are you still going to watch this?
We have to, right? We got to do it. We're two seasons in. We got to watch it.
Yeah. You know? And you know, the first one was so good.
And this one, they have nothing to lose. They've been told it's going to be canceled. They got nothing to lose. Why not?
They could all take their wieners out.
Yep.
For all we know.
Hope I don't jack off.
What are you going to do? Fire me? Like, okay. Just come on.
Man.
Really, this is loaded with trailers. We've got a ton of trailers. A
lot of trailers.
Terminator Dark Fate trailer. Sarah Connor is there. Am I way behind on these Terminator movies? And
no, you're not.
I couldn't tell you what's happening. No.
Because this is, I guess, the true sequel to Judgment Day.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Because remember, like, there was the one with Christian Bale, and there was the one with, like, Sam, what's his name? The guy from Avatar.
Rockwell?
Not Sam Rockwell.
Not Sam Rockwell. I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And then there was another one with Claire Danes. Like, and all of these are...
Oof.
I think we're Halloweening this. I think this is the true sequel to Judgment Day, which is Sarah Connor's back. And the thing I don't get though, like, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger's like 70 something years old. Like, how do you do Terminators age? Should they age?
He looked aged.
He does look aged.
They showed him. He looks aged.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to do all that. How they're going to explain that.
So he's married to, what's her name?
Maria Shriver. Mm-hmm.
And like, you've seen Pumping Iron or whatever, right?
Oh,
like
yeah. All those... Oh, yeah.
So like, I don't know. Like, doesn't that kind of a lot of thoughts go through your head there?
He's a bit of a hound dog. He's a bit of a scoundrel.
He is big time.
Yeah.
But like, bit of a tomcat. But then I've always been like fascinated by her being super attracted to that. Because she seemed very like buttoned up.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole family's buttoned up.
The whole family.
Basically the Kennedys. So,
She's the Kennedys. But then she's like, she sees that dude from that movie who talks about what it feels like to lift weights. And you're like,
Nice.
Good. Like, good for them.
I have recently this summer started working out again. And I can tell you, I have not come anywhere near that experience that Arnold Schwarzenegger has when lifting weights.
Doesn't feel that good.
Nope. If I had, I'd be there all the time. I would look like a WWE wrestler, but here I am.
Gym if it felt that good.
Yeah, look like a schlub over here.
No, you're looking great. You look nice, Ryan.
Thank you. You
look nice.
Thank you for pumping my tires there.
Speaking of 70-year-old action stars, Rambo Last Blood. This looks awful.
This looks
really bad. And usually you can make a bad movie look good in a trailer, a la Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
This is a bad movie that looks bad in a trailer.
Nobody will say. I was watching the beginning of the trailer, and I think the three production companies that are responsible for this movie, I have not heard of them at all.
No.
I think there's a couple I've never heard of. So
I honestly think if you gave me access to just like some stock footage with action scenes and a couple of new Sylvester Stallone stills, I could take my iMovie on my phone or my phone or my computer and I could come up with that.
Yeah, like this, it
stunk.
It looks awful. It looks like it was shot on an iPhone.
I have no interest in it.
Yeah, it looks terrible. And I don't know. And like, it saddens me that this is the state of movies right now where like basically like Rambo, old, like
Last
fine.
Blood.
Last Blood. Like, it's not even a good name.
Get it? Because the first, we got it. Understood.
Yeah, stop.
And what's crazy is because they've made like the sequels so cartoonish, if they only made one Rambo movie, do you think it would be held up in, I mean, maybe not Platoon, Full Metal Jacket good, but like all time war movies, I think people would take it more seriously.
I think it should. First Blood was actually a super good movie.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Same with like Rocky, and like we love like Rocky IV and stuff like that.
Because it's campy and it's stupid.
Right. But the first Rocky won a goddamn Oscar.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you got, Thunderlips and
Tommy the Machine Gun,
and you're just letting Mason the Line Dixon.
Like, though, okay. It's just so, he's such a bad writer.
Yeah.
Because you think of like all the scripts that he wrote, like it's so bad.
What do you like better, Rambo or any of the Rockies? What's Stallone's best movie?
Probably Stallone's Rocky. Best movie?
Yeah. Throw Mama from the Train.
He wasn't in that.
No, was he not?
No, he was like, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh, that's
Mel Getty.
That's right. That's what I was thinking of. That's what I was thinking of.
Best movie? Rocky or Copland, I thought was really good.
You know what movie was great for like 10-year-old me, but in hindsight probably isn't great, but like I still have a really warm spot in my heart?
Gremlins 2?
Gremlins 2. No, Demolition Man.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I loved Demolition Man.
Greetings and salutations, patron. What's your boggle?
The three seashells, and they laughed at him. Wipe your butt.
Have you found yourself thinking at random times on random days, but like, what was the deal with the three seashells? Like, how do you do that?
I don't know.
How do you clean poop with the three seashells?
I think like, I don't really know. I guess I don't know.
No one knows, but I want to know. I want
to
know.
Try to jam them all in there, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what you do.
I don't know either.
Ryan, this is right up our alley on Netflix. The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance trailer.
Were you very excited about the very end of that trailer?
Of course I was.
You're the
No podcast is better impressions of Skeksis than the hashtag Dork podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
But it looks good. Like the puppets and everything. I like this shit. So I love this shit too.
And they didn't do, it's not too much CGI. There's a little bit, but they're still puppets, which is good. It was nice to see. Yeah. It was nice to see Olgra is back.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing because it looks so much like the movie, but just like a little bit cleaner.
Better.
Like a little cleaner. Sharper. Yeah. And like, so I don't know. It'll be good.
I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited for it to scare the crap out of my kids.
Speaking of scaring the crap out of your kids, Ryan, the Annabelle movies are back, baby. This is Conjuring Universe, which is one of the most successful, if not the most successful, horror movie franchise of all time. Annabelle Comes Home. I got the trailer at the beginning of Brightburn. I don't know if, mm-hmm. it was, if you saw that as well.
Yeah.
But they do have Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are both in this, although I don't think they're going to be in it a lot. I get the sense that it's going to be focusing more on the kids. And like one of the kids' friends goes into their like their basement that they have all their stuff and lets Annabelle out, and then all hell breaks loose.
Why? I mean, why would you, if you're friends with, I keep forgetting them, forgive me, what's the name of their?
The Warrens.
The Warrens. Why would you, okay, I'm friends with like Rich Warren.
Right.
And he's like, you want to come over to my house and hang out? My, nope. No, I do not.
You may come over to my house. Yeah, right. We can meet at a speakeasy or perhaps an arcade.
A rat scholar or something.
I'm not going to your house.
I will not set foot in your goddamn house.
And then if you knew anything about that family and you walked in there and you saw a really, really creepy doll behind a glass case.
Yep.
Are you going anywhere near that thing?
No. Nope.
That room's nuts. And what's cool too is we've talked about it on the podcast, that is a real room. Like the Warrens, yes. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. both Warrens have now since passed away. The husband he'd been dead for a little while now. Yep. She just recently, I think within the year.
No, like a month or two ago.
Oh, yeah, right. We talked about it, but it was not that long ago. But that room exists, like Annabelle exists, although it looks different. I've seen, if you go to some of these websites, they show you what the real Annabelle looks like compared to the movie one. It's different, but the same idea. It's crazy.
Let's just, whatever's in there, just burn it to the ground. Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know?
This could have been my pick of the podcast, but I'm just going to throw it out here now. The Lonely Island, who I love. I saw pop star Never Stop, Never Stopping in the theater. I love these guys so much. I love all the digital shorts. I love these guys. They just came out with on Netflix the unauthorized Bash Brothers Experience,
Did you watch it? I watched 15 minutes of it.
You had to bail.
I was like, I can't.
It's 30 minutes. It's 30 minutes.
I know. It was so just.
It's Annie Sandberg as Jose Canseco, and is it Akiva as Mark McGuire?
Yeah.
And they just, I always get Akiva and Jorma mixed up, but I think it's Akiva.
Jorma is the one who's like, he was played like Hot Rod's like little brother.
Okay, so he's the one, he appears at the very end, and he also might have directed this. But these guys, I think, are hilarious. Now, I will say this, some of the songs are good, but they're, to me, not as good as the pop star ones, or like the Michael Bolton song, or like Shy Ronnie, or Dick in the Box, like... Those ones are better. This was funny, and it's a hilarious. The concept is, you guys didn't know this, but Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire sang a bunch of songs back in the 80s about them playing baseball and doing steroids. Like, it's hilarious, but I don't think it was as good as some of their other stuff. I'm glad they made it, and I hope they make more stuff, but it's worth watching. But as a big fan of theirs, I'll admit that it's not the best.
I gave me a couple hard ha's. That's a new word we're going to introduce in the Dork Lexicon, the hard ha.
Hard ha.
Where you watch them, you go, ha! Like that, but that's a hard ha. That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of those. Ding dong doodle with my bing bong bat got me.
Yes, great.
And the Oakland Night song, where they're talking about like being sexy.
Yeah.
That one, talking about like Dracar Noir. I was like, a couple hard ha's there, but like not, it was just too goofy. Like
there was way so much goofy about them doing steroids. And like one of them was like, I got the huge, what do you call it? Like the two-ton dong, but like the itty-bitty balls are like something ridiculous.
It was something like that.
And then one of them, so Jose Canseco, he's like, I never finished sex, but like I made her nut three times or something ridiculous. You're like, what?
Yeah, it's it's like so goofy.
It's goofy. And it's crass.
It's crass.
It's as crass as it gets. Also, I saw Aladdin.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Did you really?
I loved it.
I'm stunned.
I loved it. I was surprised too. And I went in being like, this is gonna suck. And if my wife didn't want to see it, I wouldn't have seen it. And like, cause sometimes you're just in the mood for like a happy movie, right?
Yeah.
Like
you just want to be entertained.
Right.
Yeah.
The songs were good. Like now you know most of them or almost all of them. I think there's like a new one or two. But the kid who played Aladdin I thought was good. The woman who played Jasmine was smoking. Will Smith was real good.
Really?
Genie, you're real good. So, pleasantly surprised. It's the third best movie I've seen in 2019.
No shit.
Yeah.
So it's behind Endgame and
John Wick 3.
Oh, okay. And then Aladdin?
Yeah, I liked it more. I liked it just ahead of, I would give Aladdin a 4.5.
Okay.
Which I also gave to Captain Marvel and Shazam, but I would rank it just ahead of those two.
Okay.
But, you know, like it's in the same tier.
But again, I mean, it's entertaining. Like you said, it's kind of fluff. It's not, there's no, the story's fine enough. You know, you know the story. So well, it's probably always, visually striking.
It is. And that's out of like all those Disney movies that came out late 80s, early 90s. Aladdin was always my favorite.
Yeah.
Jasmine was always my favorite Disney princess. And like the songs I always liked. So I would check it out. It's actually
I'll check it out. I'll check it out. I was going to sit on taking my kids to the movies till Toy Story.
But, oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll, you can't take them every time, you know?
No, I understand. Ryan. All right, Ryan, that's the way the news goes. Let's get to your news.
All right.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
So a couple of news and notes. We got, did you see the trailer for Death Stranding, the new Hideo Kojima game?
I did.
I'm going to come out and say this might be a little bit of a hot take here. Mm. What the fuck was that?
I really couldn't. I was hoping you could
And you know, I can't explain a goddamn thing. And you know what? Everyone's going to come at me and be like, oh, what are you talking about? It's like the greatest game producer, designer of all time. Fine. Well, but like, this doesn't make any sense. Like from just, even they show gameplay and all it looks like is just Norman Reedus with an enormous backpack running away from other people with backpacks and ghosts.
I was just waiting for like to pull out his crossbow. I was like, is this just like a spinoff of The Walking Dead?
So let me, other people with backpacks and ghosts while also having a fetus strapped to his chest.
Oh, you're thinking of Survival of the Fetus, which is a game,
which is a game that,
in development.
Yeah, but I don't understand, like, for the life of me, and I know that there's going to be some convoluted story that there's going to make this whole thing make sense, but like as it stands right now, if someone like James Gunn, Sean Gunn, and they're like, you're going to play this game? And I'm like, no.
No, thanks. There's like, too many games. There's too many games in the world to play something
so many
like
games.
That.
Speaking of that.
Yes.
There is a new Call of Duty Modern Warfare coming out. It's a reimagining of the game. Whatever. Yeah. Fine. We have to mention it. It's a triple A console. But
okay,
we get the announcement from the good people at Square Enix and Marvel Games that this year's E3 is going to feature the launch trailer and a lot of stuff for the new Avengers project.
Ooh.
I have an exclusive here.
This is a hashtag dork exclusive.
This is a hashtag dork exclusive.
Let me sit down.
Guess who is covering this entire press conference for our good friends at Mammoth Gamers?
Chris Schein?
Your boy.
Oh.
Rizzle Von Dizzle, baby.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. So I'll be covering this whole thing, all of Square Enix's press conference, having the Marvel, the new Avengers project game coming out. We're going to see a lot of it. We're going to probably get a release date, probably get some gameplay, maybe a trailer.
Holy smokes.
So this is going to blow off some nips. If they're continuing the trend they've had with Spider-Man, with the new Ultimate Alliance coming out, like this is going to be something else. Marvel has ramped up their video game stuff. So
Reporter Von DePorter. Damn it.
Dude, I don't know if now.
No, I don't like that.
I don't like that at all. So, and again, E3 is coming up next. Is it a week from this weekend? It's the 11th. It's the.
Oh, we're sneaking up on it.
Yeah, it's the 11th through the 13th, I think.
All right.
Hang on. Let me just check that right now.
Give that a bing.
I'll give that a E3 date. Let's see.
Let's find out when this is.
June 11th through the 13th. That was right.
Perfect.
Yep. So Death Stranding, who the hell knows what that is? But so again, Square Enix is coming out with the Avengers project and Final Fantasy VII Remastered, which I don't know if you've seen that. Final Fantasy VII heralded is one of the best role playing games of all time. They're remastering it.
I've heard.
How do you feel about everyone remastering these games now?
Honestly, not that wild about it. I kind of want new stuff.
What if I told you that the PlayStation 2 exclusive Ghostbusters game featuring the original cast is getting remastered?
All right,
would you play that?
Fine, I'll play it.
That game was actually really
twist
fun.
Twist my arm. I'll play it.
All right, and that's all I got. Under a minute.
All right, Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
I'm sorry, I blacked out for a second.
No, it's the topic du jour. Oh, it's the topic of the day.
Okay, yeah.
And today it is Superman Red Sun. Nope, that's not true.
That's not true.
Brightburn.
Brightburn.
The film Brightburn, which is 90 minutes, 56% currently on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. That's by the critics. The audience... more favorable at 68%. We start, as we do with all of our movie reviews, non-spoiler. And I'm actually fascinated to ask you this.
Yes.
I have zero idea how you feel about this. Yep. Sometimes we exchange a simple text, just I don't want to know too much. But this time I know literally nothing. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea where you're going with this. Did you like it?
Kinda. I kinda did. I liked it more than I didn't like it.
Okay. All right. Now ask me. Ask me real quick.
Did you like it? Not for you?
Like I wouldn't say no.
Right.
I definitely wouldn't say no. But when I left the theater, I was like, all right. And again, this is right in our wheelhouse. This is something I wanted to like. Because if this is good, because let's face it, all kind of superhero, you know, type movies or supervillain type movies or whatever don't have to be Marvel or DC. They don't have to be. Like, you can come up with other stuff. And so if this could work, and it's rated R, there's like some gore and stuff like that. So if this could work, good. But I left being a little underwhelmed. Loved the idea probably more than the actual movie. What genre would you say it is the most?
Okay, so this is billed as like a superhero horror movie.
Yeah.
Or a horror superhero movie. I think there was more superhero aspect than there was horror aspect. The horror aspect comes at the very end.
Yeah, there's like...
it's like a build up to that.
There's a couple of things, and this isn't even a spoiler because it's the friggin' poster, but you can see like he wears a mask at some points.
And a cape.
And a cape. And so like the mask... it's kind of horror-y, I would say. Actually, I like the mask.
It's a little scarecrow-ish.
Yeah, it is.
Because of the thing in the front that it like kind of ties and whatever.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like if Gonzo was really evil.
Yeah.
Like, if you straighten the nose of Gonzo and pulled it down.
Yeah.
He looks a little like Gonzo. Like an evil Gonzo.
Evil Gonzo.
Yeah. But because I think it is a superhero horror is like what they would call it. But I'm with you, probably a little bit more superhero. What'd you think of the story?
Like you said, I mean, I don't know how they got away with this. Like, I don't know how this was like the Gunn brothers were like, we're just going to fucking write Superman, but bad.
Yeah, because it's Kansas.
It's Kansas. It's a crash landing spaceship that he's like a baby's wrapped in, and he's wrapped in like a red blanket.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming is the cape on a farm.
With two parents that couldn't have kids that want a kid.
Right.
It's insane. Like it's literally Superman.
It's one of those things that they call in, you know, literature, like a Moses story where like he's raised by parents who aren't his and then winds up like turning on his parents and like all that stuff. So it's like, it's the same thing. Like it's rehashed. It's been told forever, but like, I just don't, it's so on the nose.
You know? It really is. And I'm like, man, they're really going right for it. And again, Superman Red Son, actually a little bit different. The comic that Mark Millar, who did like Old Man Logan and Civil War and Kick-Ass and all those ones. That guy's awesome. So he did Superman Red Son, and that's sort of like an Elseworlds kind of story. But that one is, he just lands, I forget exactly where, somewhere like in the USSR or whatever.
Yeah.
But the idea is he's raised into being a guy who fights for communism.
Yes, so like, and whereas, against America. So it's like,
But like he's raised that way. Whereas like this, without giving too much away, like he's raised in like a good family. Like Superman's parents are very similar to Brightburn's parents.
Yeah.
In a way. What do you think of like the action?
Some of it was good. Some of it was kind of like, you could see like the, I thought some of the effects were a little, cheesy is the wrong word, but a little, you could tell that this movie didn't have a huge budget.
Yeah, no, it actually had a really small budget.
Yeah.
The budget was $6 million.
Which is nothing. That's absolutely
nothing. So they've already made it back.
Yeah, and it's the shots where he was like fast, but like showing up in places, and it made like this kind of like cheesy noise.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a skittering noise.
Yeah.
And like, you saw this in the commercial. So this isn't when he jumps on the lady and she's in the meat locker, the meat freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And he like jumps at her. It looked a little, it looks like something again, like we could have, give me like 2 hours in After Effects and I could have put that together, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. And that's why it's an interesting one. Cause like they have to view it as a success based on how much it was made for, but yes. like it was, I think this past weekend it was like fourth at the box office,
but it made its money back.
And but then it made its money was... back. So I guess it really depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
You already talked about like the horror aspects. It certainly wasn't scary. Now, if you were a little kid, I'm sure some of it was scary, but
yeah, I mean, it wasn't scary. It was gory. Like it was super gory.
There was a couple of cool deaths a couple of times. Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely wasn't like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Did you think it was funny at all? The comedy?
Not really. I thought the guy they tried to have as comic relief was the uncle played by the guy who played Badger in From Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like,
he really wasn't that funny.
No,
yeah, no, he wasn't. So yeah, nothing really there. Now yeah. Is this a theater movie? Like, would you recommend this?
No,
I'm with you.
I'm really in the theater.
And for like a movie that is part superhero, I think, but also because of what the budget is, it's not like, ooh, you got to see this in the big screen. Like, it's not even that.
Mm-mm.
I think it's worth checking out though. Like I would watch it, but I wouldn't spend money on it, especially with all the movies that are coming out, whether it's Dark Phoenix or Godzilla or obviously Spider-Man, you mentioned Toy Story. Like, there's so many movies coming out. I probably wouldn't. What would the hashtag dork score be for you?
3.5.
Yeah, that's what I went with, actually. And so you liked it a little bit more, but it's the same score.
It's the same score, yeah.
I went 3.5, and I was thinking back to, I think I gave Glass a 3.5.
I think I gave Glass a 3. I like this more than I like Glass.
Yeah, me too. I think you did. I'm trying to keep track of them. You either gave it a 2.5 or a 3, because you were lower on Glass.
I was lower than you, yeah.
But it's in that realm. Like, it's nowhere near as good as Shazam or Captain Marvel.
So the problem with Glass, like, because we're talking about like this suspense, but built in with like superheroes too. So that's a great segue. It's similar. So like, I think where Glass failed, I think this succeeded, and like vice versa. Mm. But apples to apples, I think I enjoyed watching this movie more than I, because again, I think I expected a little bit more from Glass.
I did too. I
didn't expect anything from this, and found myself being like, huh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, so, but a 3.5, I would say. Once we get into spoilers, I can explain all this stuff, but it's definitely worth checking out. Definitely don't pay money to see it.
Right.
This should have been a Netflix movie. I mean, it should have been.
That's a good point. And it's funny. Netflix movies, for the most part, are terrible.
Yeah,
like this would have been really good, but this would have been one of their better movies that they ever had.
Yes, I like this better than I like Bird Box.
Oh, yes, I think I do too. I forget what I gave Bird Box at the time, but I would rather rewatch this. And also, I mean, 90 minutes again, like, so it's not like they're
you're running out.
Yeah, you're in and out. It does its thing. So yeah, we're both giving it a 3.5. Save your money. Some good gore, some good use of gore. But definitely a lot of issues with it. So anything else non-spoiler?
Nope. Let's get to it.
Spoilers, 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 spoilers. Do you want to start with some of the best parts or some of the worst parts?
Start with the best parts.
All right. You mentioned Badger, who plays the uncle.
Yeah.
And when he turns, and so basically, actually, let's just real quick. So like the whole point of Brightburn 2 is I thought he kind of was the nicest kid in the world until one day he wasn't. And that was a little bit of a quick turn.
That was kind of sucked a little bit, really quick.
And I understand that you can make the argument, well, all right, now he's going through puberty and like, sometimes that can change. Like, yeah, I guess it's not overnight necessarily. And it was like the spaceship started talking to him and he was like, now I'm a psychopath. And now I have these relationships with my parents and with my aunt and uncle. And now those mean shit to me now. But when he kills Badger, and his jaw, he rips his jaw. His jaw falls off his body. He's holding it for a while, too.
And he's like,
and it falls. That was the coolest scene, I think, in the whole movie.
That was pretty cool. And then the reveal, again, speaking of the gore, like the reveal that like the waitress, the girl of the mother that went missing was like in the basement, like in the thing. She was like ripped open. Like that was kind of fucked up.
That was
one of the best parts for me is questioning, and this we've seen this with Injustice and we've seen this with like, you know, Red Sun and whatever, but like, and even in Watchmen, I started thinking about Watchmen and like Dr. Manhattan, how he's completely disconnected from human beings. Like once he figures out like who he is and like, what would I do? Like, I'm not like, okay, we are not perfect people. Like Superman is like the perfect person or alien or whatever.
Yeah.
like me, if I were given like that type of ability, I can tell you with a straight face right now, some of the stuff I do right at the onset is not going to be for the good of mankind.
Correct.
You know, like, because what does it matter?
But what I'm surprised, and I don't have any experience with this, but basically it's also when he found out he was adopted, he goes crazy and blames them. And rather than saying, hey, this has been, what is he, 12? Like,
so he just turned 12.
Yeah. So he just turns 12. And by all accounts, his parents are super nice and they have a nice, normal, whatever normal is, but they have a normal Kansas upbringing. They all love each other. He's a good student, kind of gets picked on, but you know, whatever. It's like a classic story. And then I'm sure that's really tough whenever it is at the age that kids find out that they were adopted. And then if you happen to have superpowers on top of it, like what do you turn into?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't think he would go to wanting to kill them right away.
No, but like, again, the spaceship talking to him, I was thinking about that part and it was like, it was saying the same thing over and over again. And then what it was saying, the kid kind of pieced it together. It's saying, take the world.
Yes.
So unlike Superman, who was sent here out of like desperation, I feel like this kid was sent there on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, they sent him there on purpose.
And they want him to wipe out the world or whatever.
Yeah. And get to know these people and have them trust you. And then you take it out. So to that end, what I really like about this movie is it kind of builds a world. Now we are, you know, and maybe I'm thinking of like, I'm already thinking of sequels and like how they can do it. Cause obviously this kid's going to grow up and he's going to get, cause he drew a picture in his notebook of him in outer space, like shooting his laser beams, like into the earth and like blowing it up.
Yeah.
And like everyone like bowing down to him or whatever.
Yeah.
So what if there's like another one who's like, so they sent to like stop him or, you know what I mean? Like there's so something there
too. And so we can jump around here, but because you said it, let's just get right to that part of it. The idea of sequels, they're clearly looking at some sort of a Brightburn universe. And if you jump to the end of the movie, it's sort of like, yeah, I wouldn't even call it end credits or mid credits. It's like, it ends. There's like, directed by or whatever, and then it goes right to this scene with Michael Rooker as like this like TV blogger type of guy, and they're talking about Brightburn. So you call him Brandon or Brightburn, whatever, we're just gonna call him Brightburn even though that's the name of the town. But so Brightburn is like one of these guys and he is causing all kinds of destruction, but there's also a half man half sea monster, which I guess is just like an evil Aquaman. right
Yeah.
And then they said there is a woman who didn't, I forget, did they say she's like a witch like person,
something like that,
who chokes people with a rope? And so all I was thinking, evil Wonder Woman,
right?
So they're setting up a universe here that there's evil Superman, who's a kid, evil Aquaman, evil Wonder Woman. And the other thing I missed, but apparently in the photograph there is a image of the character Crimson Bolt, who's played by Rainn Wilson in James Gunn's movie Super.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's the one with him and Ellen Page, right? It's a dark comedy. Yeah, it's not very good.
But so I've never seen it. And I saw like the box office was like $0.
Yeah.
But again, so that's a James Gunn movie. This was a James Gunn produced movie written by Brian and Mark Gunn.
Mm-hmm. How many guns are there, by the way?
Four? I think four, but they're not all brothers. It's also a cousin situation.
Okay.
Like, so there's brothers and then there's cousins involved.
All right.
But I don't know. Are they going to try to bring in, so this movie that nobody's ever seen before, are they going to try to bring that into this universe?
No. Cause I guess that's just like an Easter egg. That's not like a big, because that guy doesn't have any real super ability. His wife leaves him and he becomes like a superhero to like cope with it.
He has no powers though.
No, right? He just runs around and you call him the Crimson Bolt and he's like super unathletic and he just hits people with a wrench.
It's Dwight Schrute.
Yeah.
But Michael Rooker, I guess, is also in that movie, although he plays a different role than this movie. So, like, again, that might be different. But anyway, they're trying to push forward a Brightburn universe. Do you want to see a sequel?
I kind of do. Like, I would love to see what they do with this. And again, I love the idea of, like, what if Superman just, like, said, fuck it. Like, this, like, these people aren't doing anything for me. These people don't matter.
Well, like, and that's why, like, in so many of the different comics, like, why Batman, like, has kryptonite.
Because
he's like the only one who's like, if this guy decides to turn on us, what are we going to do?
Right.
Like, he's the only one. Everybody else is like, well, he's a good guy. He's fine. And Batman's like, no.
Yeah.
He would destroy the planet.
And I keep thinking about that, like, that College Humor thing with Pete Holmes when he's playing Batman, and he's like,
"Yes, amazing.
Like, we should team up together." And Batman's like, "Why?
Why? You got it.
You could snap your fingers, and we'd all be done. Like, you don't need me.
Yeah, no, you got it."
And that's just it. Like, how powerful this person is, and if he just decided one day, they're like, "You know what? I don't really give a shit about this anymore."
Well, and one kind of like, I don't know if it was a twist necessarily, and some of this stuff was kind of telegraphed, like when he was banging on the thing in the woods or in the barn.
Yeah,
you knew. All right, well, ship's talking to him, and ship is obviously buried in there or whatever. That's where they hid it. And you know, long story short, you find out that the ship is the only thing that can cause harm to him.
Right, and whatever it's made out of. Yeah.
So these are a couple like kind of bullshit things I would say. So he's never ever bled before.
Mm-hmm.
So are they like anti-vaxxers or something?
Or I don't, I have no idea. Or like, maybe just like,
did he never get a shot in his life? Cause wouldn't that be more, cause there were a few times where there's red flags. Cause like the first time they ever saw him bleed was when the ship. And so I look at that. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But if you take another step for it, you're like, so he's 12 years old. He's never ever bled. And you're just like,
well, that's, and he says like,
the doctor hasn't gotten a shot or had to give blood.
He was, remember he said like, he's never bled. He's never been sick. He's never had a bruise. Like this kid has never like,
right. And then there's that scene where he's really starting to turn on his parents, and Roy from the office, his dad, is like talking to him in the kitchen, and then he like pushes him, and he like jumps back like 10 feet.
Yeah.
And those kind of things happen in a lot of movies, and it drives me nuts because it's like they kind of like act kind of like surprised, but then that's it. And like, think about that. If you were 12 years old and you were that size and you pushed your dad across the room, there wouldn't be like a, man, he's losing his temper. They'd be like, holy shit. What's the, like, is he a superhero? Like, what's the deal here?
Not only that, but like, if you push someone that hard, that fast, how do you not break a rib? You know?
Oh yeah. Like, like Roy, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you not break that guy's ribs?
He definitely could. And he like smashed into like this, like the hush or whatever they had there.
But that scene, it was so, one of the best parts of the movie too, is when Roy, we're just going to call him Roy from the office.
Yeah,
David Denham, something.
Let's just go with Roy. And then when you talk about the mom, just call her Elizabeth Banks.
Because it doesn't really matter what their name. I think it was Tori and...
Yeah, it was Tori and Kyle.
Kyle.
Breyer.
Breyer. Yeah. Breyer.
So Brandon Breyer lives in Brightburn. Come on.
Yeah. And what's great too is like there was also a show called Smallville.
Right.
Now this one's called Brightburn, the town he lived in. So just throwing that out there,
it's just very much Superman.
It's so Superman. And she's a waitress like Martha Kent was, and dad's a farmer, and
they live on a goddamn farm.
They live on a farm. It's ridiculous. But like, I don't know, there was something about this that just left me questioning, like, this is actually pretty sweet. Like, that I loved how he would, like, when she goes, because we're into spoilers, right?
Yeah,
when he kills his mom.
We've been long into spoilers.
And he's just, like, staring at her. And this kid, the kid did actually a really good job of just being, like, stone-faced.
So the kid played the young version of Ant-Man in Endgame. Like, when he was going through and, like, the
12,
I think it was the 12-year-old version or whatever. Because, obviously, there's baby Ant-Man. There's all different Ant-Mans. So, like, a really young Ant-Man was him.
Well, how about what a summer for that guy, huh?
Yeah, he's doing okay. He was good. He also looks like the kid from Ozark.
That's who I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not, I guess. It looks like him.
The scene when both his parents try to kill him.
Holy.
And his reaction to that. So when Roy shoots him and like goes to shoot, and he like the kid like turns and looks at him, like that was such a cool scene.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
Then I thought, what an awesome, if I were Superman and like I wanted to like really kill somebody, I would do exactly what that kid did.
100%.
Fly him up into like outer space and just let him go.
That's insane. That is an unbelievable kill.
And I was getting like, it's like that scene in Kill Bill when like she gets buried alive and you start like that feeling of, but I had like that feeling like I was falling.
Oh,
just watching it in the theater.
And that was amazing.
And there were some really cool shots.
They just kept going up. Now, I don't think that's the first time it's happened. I feel like I've seen that in something else, maybe in a comic that I read. I forget. Maybe even in Red Sun. I don't even think I
remember. So there's a Joe Hill story. The guy, Stephen King's son.
Yeah. Lock and Key guy.
Yeah. And it was called The Cape.
Okay.
And it's basically the same story of like a kid who like finds out he is, but he's like, and he does that. He just like flies people up into the air and like takes this girl he really likes up and blah, blah, blah. And she's been like me, and he just drops her.
That's insane. Like, that's such a good one. And cause you're like, because he can kill you so many different ways.
Yeah.
But like this is a way where he's like
laser beams through your face. Right. Like Kano style. Yeah. Yep,
you can do that. Yeah. And then he just keeps going up, 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 and up. And you're like, oh my God. Like he's going like above the clouds.
And you're like, stop. And then stop. Like,
just drops her.
Like, and there's no talking. It just,
yeah.
Later.
That was pretty stone cold.
Yeah.
How about when Roy and Brightburn are having the conversation because he finds all these like really graphic pictures and they just think he's like getting into sex. And then he's like, hey, you know, it's okay to like touch it.
So he's like, he's what? Like, what? He's like, your penis.
Your penis. He's like,
and the kid's reaction was like now?
Yeah.
Like, no, right, not now. That was the only part I left at.
And then he shows up at that girl's house.
Yeah.
That was messed up when he broke her hand.
That was pretty messed up.
Yeah. Oh, that was pretty bad, is right.
Yeah.
So one of the other parts that I thought was just a little bit like it doesn't make sense. It's sort of like when Roy gets pushed in the kitchen, he doesn't say anything, is when clearly Brightburn is starting to really go off his rocker. And I think his mom's starting to put it together. He's already broke the girl's hand. He's been suspended for a couple of days. And he shows up at his aunt's house, like creepy style. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, Brandon, this isn't appropriate. Like, go home. So first of all, I don't know how far they live from each other, but she's just sending him home in the middle of the night. And on second of all, she doesn't call the mom.
Call ahead and be like, yo, he just showed up at my house.
Doesn't even call the mom. And then like the next day she's like, oh, like you saw him? Oh, he got home? Like, what? You're his aunt. You've also known him his whole life. Like, what are you doing? You're just letting him go. Clearly he's not doing very well.
Yeah. And especially you're not only that, but the other layer is like you're his school counselor.
Right. On top of all of it.
You should have. But I loved how the kid played. He's like, yeah, you got to talk to the sheriff tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah. Like that was like so self-possessed. I thought that he was the best actor in the whole thing.
I think he was the too. Kid. Yeah. He was pretty strong. And that can obviously make or break a movie as we know. All right.
His like, kids. Kids.
That can be trouble. But and it's really just him.
Yeah. I mean, he turned it on and turned it off so well. Like he has that thing where he like pushes the father and then he comes back downstairs. He's like, you know, I'm good. I'm good with it. And you can tell like everyone knows he's lying, obviously. But you know what I mean?
I was so messed up when they're like, oh, your Uncle Badger died. And he's like, okay.
Uncle Badger. He's like, you want me to cry?
Or? Like, what? Yeah. Like, he's like, I feel like you want me to cry. She's like, don't you? Like, do you feel anything? He's like, no, I don't.
Not really.
Yeah. I don't feel a goddamn thing.
And that whole thing where he's talking to his aunt and the school counselor, he's like, I know I'm something superior. And she's like kind of looking at him and he's like, no,
oh my God.
Like,
yeah.
And what did he say about breaking the girl's hand? He's like, you know, sometimes bad things happen and.
Oh, sometimes. You know, oh yeah. What did she say? He's like, bad things happen to bad people or something like that. But it was just so cold. It was just like, you know.
He's like, who am I to judge? Like, who am I to say, like, what's good and what's bad?
Yeah, and she was just like, I'm not going to lie for you. Like, you need to feel some remorse. He's like, That was also messed up because they were playing, like, a trust fall game. They were pushing each other, and he just
dodged the kid? What are you doing?
He wiped out. He didn't like, I mean, he's
call him a pervert? Right? You show him up in front of everybody like that? Come on.
But also kind of crazy for him to have the idea to grab the plane out of midair and spike it down on their house and then everybody's dead but him. So they still don't know it's him.
No.
But like, I wonder where he's living now.
So that's the thing. Maybe that's the next thing. He's in like a group home or something.
Oh yeah.
Or he's just like, it doesn't really matter. Like,
no, it doesn't. I mean, he's going to take off. Yeah. But I mean, they get, somebody's going to sort of have like an idea of what he's doing.
But then again, like, does he like play the game where he just like, you know, he's like the reverse of Clark Kent. He continues to grow up. He continues to go to school and, you know, do all these things. And then, you know, at night, instead of saving people, he's just like
Brandon
Hellfire.
Clark Kent, Brandon Breyer.
Yeah.
I did like the logo that he has.
That's pretty sweet.
I don't hate that logo. And I think it's still, if you use hashtag Brightburn, I think it still pops up as like a little emoji.
Oh, does it really?
It's like a line with like a double B.
Like a double B. Yeah.
It also kind of looks like, if you look at it real quick, it looks like Negan's baseball bat.
Lucille, kinda, yeah.
With like with the barbed wire and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the mask was actually pretty good. I thought the symbol was good. I thought pretty good use of gore. I don't really know what I was looking for, I guess. It was just more of, he went from being a really good kid for 12 years. There was nothing that happened except for, I guess he's going through puberty and maybe the spaceship finally, after all these years, spoke to him. And at that point, he just turns into a cold-blooded killer.
Like, yeah, okay. And like, it was,
I mean, I guess.
I mean, there's a lot of like, you're going to have to do some work on your own here. You're going to have to like, jump to your own conclusions, which I did. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So like, you know, his home planet, it didn't blow up. It's still out there. And yeah, I'm guessing they sent other ones, other places, you know, and
I wonder if the, I bet he's his own from his own planet. I bet the other two that we talked about, like the Aquaman and Wonder Woman knockoff, they're probably their own separate things, but you're going to maybe develop this whole world where there's like a lot of powered people, I guess.
Yeah. And there's there has to be someone who's trying to stop them, you know.
Yeah, there's got to be a good guy ultimately, right?
Yeah, it has to be. Like, what if they had, instead of having like the Lex Luthor, like the evil genius, have like a good genius who like has to bring him down? So it's like the reverse Lex Luthor.
Well, I love it. I think you've actually really stumbled on it.
Yeah.
I think you've. And then you take characters. Yeah, that'd be interesting actually. And try to spin it that way and have it looks like it's DC, right? If we're doing Superman, we're doing DC characters. So if you jump in there and take like a good Joker.
And you name him like Rex Rufus or something.
Rex Rufus. Yeah. Why not? Why? I mean,
it's not Lex Luthor, it's Rex Rufus. He's different.
He's a different guy, obviously. Everybody knows he's different. He's not the same as
What are you, an Matt. Idiot? You stupid bitch.
What else you got? I'm in favor of a Brightburn universe, just to see where it goes. But I don't think I'd run out to the theater to see it either.
No, and again, it was a movie definitely worth watching. If you're into superhero movies, if you're into horror movies, I think it was interesting. I really, it's not great. It's not gonna blast any nips.
No,
but it's a nice. I would call it like a nice study in like what that would look like. You know, what an evil Clark Kent would look like.
So the director just recently said upon the film potentially being a success. And I guess it's how you view it, because worldwide, as of a couple days ago, it had made over 19 million. And yet it was only made for six. So again, it's different. We're not comparing it to Endgame or even Aladdin. We're comparing it to these lower ones. Like, think more horror. That's like an old classic horror movie budget.
Sure.
But so he said the universe of Brightburn would be expanded upon. I guess in an interview with Collider, Yarvesky or whatever the director's name is, confirmed that the film's mid-credit scenes, making reference to a half-man, half-sea creature terrorizing the seas, Rainn Wilson's character, Frank Darbo, the Crimson Bolt from Super, and a powerful witch, who chokes her victims with a rope that compels them to tell the truth, like, good Lord, was intended to set up a sequel. In addition, noting that an alternate ending to the film featured Emmy Hunter's Caitlin. Who was Caitlin? Was that the girl that got her hand broken?
Yeah.
Maybe it was. So I guess there was an alternate ending featuring Caitlin with she was in a lab. Oh, yeah, she was in a lab fastening a robot arm onto her broken arm, and she was just sitting there pissed off, as well as mentioning tons of other such endings as having been discussed, as well as stating that if we were to expand the Brightburn universe in other installments and in other ways, we would probably be doing it in the exact same way, in total secrecy, and then drop a cinematic trailer at some point that kind of teaches one what that new direction may be. That's worded really
interesting,
poorly.
Interesting word,
yeah. Yeah, but maybe it's one of those things where you have no idea. They might label it something else, sort of like what they did with the Cloverfields.
Yeah, right.
A Cloverfield situation where all of a sudden pops up, coming out in October, like, and we find out about it in September.
See, I think in this age of like trailers and shit, like the trailer is just as much important. I need more movies to just surprise trailers. Yeah. Like we're at the point now where we're having announcements for it. Like a trailer was the announcement of the movie. Now we're having trailers for the trailers.
Yes.
Like dropping a trailer is now requires a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So like I love these. I used to love when Abrams used to do that with like Cloverfield and with Super 8, where he just like would just drop these out of nowhere and you have no idea what it is.
Yeah,
until like the very end.
And you're like, that's so much better.
Yeah, it's so much better.
Now, have you seen the movie Chronicle?
Yes, a long time ago.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, I think it's a 2012 movie.
Yeah,
some people brought that up sort of in comparison to this in a way, as far as just like, I know that's a found footage movie.
Yep. And it's Josh Trank, the guy who did
Fantastic Four.
Fan-four-stick.
Yeah, he did that.
Yeah.
And I think Max Landis wrote it, who apparently is an absolute creep.
Is that what's John his name? Landis, John Landis' son.
His son is one of these guys that, like, after the Harvey Weinstein stuff came out, like, a ton of people came out against him.
Oh, boy.
But anyway,
Chronicle's good. Yeah.
Found footage, very good. Superhero movie, right?
Yeah, but it's like a low budget superhero movie, which is like actually really good. Like these three friends get powers and one of them like turns really, the most powerful of the three turns really bad.
Okay.
And it's to get Dane DeHaan, who's played, you know, Dane DeHaan, you know him.
Of course I do. Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan, what do you say? We get to the old pick of the pod.
Yeah. I mean, again, just to reiterate, I'm very fascinated with this movie. It was definitely made with $6 million. And I think if they did more than an hour and a half and did a little bit more explaining as to like what was going on, maybe 10 more minutes of just like explaining like what's happening.
Yes. Yeah.
And maybe the kid,
something, but yeah,
maybe the kid telling somebody like, this is what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would have made it a little bit better for me. But like I said, 3.5, I like it. Don't pay to see it, but definitely see it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Pick of the pod time.
All right.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
All right, Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you also may defend a goal?
I'll defend a goal. I've never said defend a goal before. Okay. I don't even know what that means.
Well, then I obviously choose to receive.
Yeah. And I'll take this side.
Okay. Then I will go walk over here and I'm going to go with, on Netflix, the Linda Carnelini, Christina Applegate show, Dead to Me.
Yeah, you into this?
Not bad. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Was not the greatest in the world, but it was like 8 episodes. Or was it 8 or 10 episodes? But they were half-hour episodes. So you kind of rip through it. And like the first episode, they basically set up the whole thing for you. Like it's one of those ones where you're almost surprised how quick they move along. You're like, right. Oh my God, like they didn't really take time with this at all. But those two are both so good. And then mm-hmm. James Marsden is also in it and he's good. It was a pretty good little story. And for a Netflix series, if you're looking for one right now, I would give that a go.
So I have two-ish. So I just started Good Omens on Prime. Which is a Neil Gaiman book, which is one of the better. It's up there with American Gods. It's one of Neil Gaiman's better books, and they just made a series out of it. It involves the apocalypse and a demon and an angel who are trying to stop the apocalypse because they're really like living on Earth. So it's pretty good. So it's funny. It's kind of dark humor, and then I saw the Olivia Wilde directed Booksmart.
Oh, you did?
Which is like the female Superbad. It's good.
That's getting good reviews. Yeah,
it's really good. I mean, it's not super bad. So don't go in and thinking that it's like,
yeah, that's pretty,
it's pretty, it's pretty good. Raunchy. Okay. It's pretty progressive, but it's an awesome message for kids in a way, in like a weird way.
Okay.
So just to give you like, so these two girls, they're like one's going to Columbia, one's going to Yale, and they've been, you know, studying hard and blah, blah, blah. And then the last day of school, they find out that like all these kids who they thought were like dickheads are all going to the same schools they are.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, that makes
you and I can relate to that.
That's a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a real thing. And so, they just decide to blow it out one night and like get arrested and all this stuff. So there's some really funny parts. There's one scene in particular. Reach out to me if you've seen it, and I can tell you what scene I really didn't like. But it's 4.5/5 out of 6.
Oh, good.
Solid comedy. And yeah, I will see good. Anything. What's it? Sudeikis is hilarious as the principal.
Is Will Forte in it?
Yes, he plays the father. Lisa Kudrow and Will Forte play one of the girls' parents. And they're super funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'll support anything Olivia Wilde does. So
okay.
She's got my money.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
Oh, Ryan, just before we started recording this, Wes from the Boxers podcast, he sent us a ranking from some website of every sketch from I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, which is our favorite thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's apparently 29 sketches. I didn't think we were going to have to do this, but I think we have to do this
because
that list is trash. I don't know if I can even say what the website is. And first of all, they're all good. I probably at least had a hard ha in each of the episodes.
Hard ha's, baby.
But I also cried laughing a few times. And those ones were ranked like in the 20s. The fucking Chunky one is the best one. And he had it like in the 20s. So this list, if you find this list online, don't read it. Burn it, because it is awful. It's awful. We're going to have to do I Think You Can Leave episode. We're going to have to do it.
I think so. And it'll be good practice for Rick and Morty. But
yes.
Like one of my favorites is the one with the, was it New Joe? The one with the organ guy at the funeral?
Oh, with Fred Willard?
Yeah.
He's playing the organ.
My condolences. This is a somber tune about a young duckling who gets his head stuck in a stewed tomato. like that. Like the Bozo one was like 24.
Bozo dubbed over was super low.
That's and the insane. Best one was like the baby one, which I thought was incredibly stupid.
The baby one was not the best one, except when they said, all right, it's time for In Memoriam. And they go for Jesus Christ. And they're like, no, they grew up.
Yeah. Or the other one that they had was Dead Last was the one where the guy
first one
that where he's interviewing.
Yeah.
And he said, leave the door. He tried to leave it. He's pushing it. And he's like, no, it's one of those ones that goes both ways. Just trying to prove. And he's like pushing the door.
He's like, it's a pull.
Oh no. He said it was a push. And it was a pull. And he's just trying to pull it open. And he like forces the door open. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
That was an unbelievable start. And they had that last.
But anyway, we got to do our own ranking.
We'll do our own rankings. That's what we're going to have to do. So again, watch that. Make sure you watch that. That's also on
the
Netflix.
The draft or ranking system invented by Mac and Goo.
Yes.
They invented
came up with the top 10. We're going to have to do the top 29, I believe.
Yep. Top so we're going to take it a step further.
Sketches. So next week, you know what? That may be next week. Where do you stand on Godzilla King of the Monsters? It's getting trash reviews.
Is it really?
Well, I don't know if I don't know if that's fair. It was a 40% last check on Rotten.
That's a shame. But isn't this like my wife's like, she's like, what's the next movie you have to go see? And I said Godzilla, and she's like, have fun, like basically like.
And I'm actually 40% critics, 89 audience.
Yeah, like this is the bit I was explaining to her. Like, I don't want to see, like I'm looking at the thing right now. Like, I don't want to see like Detective Pikachu, like in the theater.
No, me neither.
I don't want to see A Dog's Journey in the theater. Like Godzilla movies are why you go to the movies.
That's a good point. No, that is absolute popcorn IMAX.
Yeah. Like, and movie. Is it going to suck? Probably, but am I going to have fun?
There's a good chance.
Yeah. But you had a nice time. Oh, by the way, I will end this by the way.
Yeah.
It is confirmed today. We should have done this in news. Robert Pattinson is the next Batman.
He is 100%. Yep.
Confirmed.
He is. You know, which, I've come around on it. I didn't hate it right away. I was just kind of surprised, but I think it was good.
He's going to be awesome.
Okay.
Because like I said to you, everyone motherfucked Heath Ledger when they said he was going to be the Joker instead of Crispin Glover. And look how that worked out.
I think he is going to blow hats, socks, and nips off of the
He's going to be great. And if they do get Vanessa Hudgens to play Selena Kyle, I might lose my mind.
Ooh. Oh.
That's rumored.
Oh.
She is a perfect Selena Kyle.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Perfect.
Yeah. We thinking about that.
Now you're thinking about that,
I'm
right?
I'm thinking about that, Ryan.
What if they did Long Halloween? With those two.
Who's going to play Calendar Man?
You, actually. Okay,
good. They should just get Anthony Hopkins to do it.
Yeah,
just might as well. Played. Fucking Hannibal Lecter as Calendar Man. Ryan, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or just about anywhere else where you can find your podcast. Tell a friend, tell a dork. If you've already rated the podcast, ask somebody else to rate the podcast. It's good for the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Dork Podcast. And I'm actually fascinated between Twitter or email, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. What did you guys think of Brightburn? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Somewhere in the middle? Do you agree with us? Disagree with us? I'm curious with that.
And just to throw this out there, whatever you decide to say, you valued listener, you're right. If you loved it, I agree with you. If you hate it, I agree with you.
Yeah. As long as you're doing your best.
Yep. It was okay stuff. Don't give me that.
YouTube.com/dorkpodcast. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. And Davey's back in the Twitch game.
We're back in the Twitch game. Yeah, we're going to start up. We're going to start up next week. We're going to back at hopefully get a regular schedule throughout the summer. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. I'm excited to be back.
I love it so much, Ryan. So next week, maybe Godzilla, TBD.
Perhaps maybe Godzilla, or maybe if we see Godzilla and decide that it's not
worth
doing, we're doing.
I think you should leave
rankings.
Yep. I love it. Ryan.
Maybe we put it to a vote. I don't know. Good.
Wait, who's to stop us? Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody is.
I'm my own boss. You're not the boss of me.
That's correct. We're all our own boss here at Hashtag Dork. So thanks so much for listening. Another perfect episode.